On Wednesday's front page, Mitt Romney cruised to a solid victory in the New Hampshire primary. As the race moves on to South Carolina, he's telling his Republican rivals not to play into President Obama's hands by trying to destroy his candidacy there. We'll look at how video chat programs like Skype are redefining music lessons and returning veterans who are relearning how to drive outside a combat zone. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Mitt Romney won the New Hampshire primary. He turned back a ferocious assault from Republican rivals who tried to disqualify him in the eyes of conservatives. Romney claimed a wider margin of victory than in Iowa, where he won last week's caucuses by only 8 votes. In New Hampshire, Representative Ron Paul finished second. John Huntsman, who'd staked his candidacy on New Hampshire, came in third but said he'd stay in the race, while Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum were trailing. Times reporter Jim Rutenberg looks ahead to the South Carolina primary 10 days from now. If Romney wins there, it'll be a triumph of rebranding. Romney has to convince voters he's left behind a past that included support for abortion rights and a health care plan that helped inspire President Obama's. Also on Wednesday's front page, details on a fatal stampede in South Africa. Prospective college students were rushing in, hoping to get places at the University of Johannesburg, but the mother of one student was trampled to death. Too many students are seeking too few spots. Times reporter Lydia Polgreen says the higher education system there is struggling to give everyone opportunities that used to be reserved for whites. Video chat programs like Skype are upending the world of music lessons. Technology is giving people access to world-class teachers, even if they're not close by. That's a plus for musicians learning to play somewhat obscure instruments like bagpipes, but parents are getting a break too. They don't have to drive their kids to music lessons anymore. Times reporter James Dow looks at the Veterans Administration's PTSD driving program. Now that they're back home, some combat veterans are too aggressive behind the wheel. Some can't go into parking lots without feeling cornered. Others drive in the middle of the road because that's what they were trained to do in Iraq and Afghanistan. Experts say there's a reason these veterans are different from soldiers of the past. Their combat experiences were often defined by dangers on the road, particularly with roadside bombs. Inside Wednesday's Times, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad repeated what's been his mantra since the 10-month-old revolt began. He said the uprising is the work of foreign infiltrators, and they'll be crushed with an iron fist. He also promised reforms. Times reporter Neil McFarquhar says the iron fist part is already proven true. So far, the reform part has not. Assad has long avoided any changes that might loosen the grip his family and the Alawite minority have on the country. The uprising seems to have moved into a more complicated phase in recent weeks. There have been renewed protests in some places. There have also been some notable defections from the security forces. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner is in Beijing. He's on a mission to get Chinese leaders to toughen their position on Iran. He also wants China to soften its opposition to currency changes that might help the U.S. economy. That's probably a long shot. The two sides may find more common ground on other issues, including the need to address Europe's debt problems. A Russian spacecraft is whizzing out of control around the Earth. It's expected to re-enter the atmosphere on Saturday, and debris could fall anywhere in a vast stretch that includes New York, London, and Tokyo. The director of Russia's space agency said the culprit was an anti-satellite weapon. He said he wasn't making any accusations, but other Russian officials have speculated radar signals from installations in Alaska might have thrown their satellite off course. New York State's top financial regulator is investigating several large banks to see whether they fraudulently steered homeowners into overpriced insurance policies. State Financial Services Superintendent Benjamin Losky has issued subpoenas. The investigation centers on what's called forced place insurance. It's become increasingly common in the recession. Among the banks being questioned are J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo. In Washington, the Supreme Court debated whether policing curse words and nudity on broadcast television makes sense in the cable era. Most of the justices seemed inclined to leave the current rules in place. Justice Samuel Alito said the court didn't need to rush to judgment because broadcast TV is going the way of LPs and 8-track tapes. Wednesday's Business Day section says dividends are on track to set a record this year. Standard & Poor's says companies will pay out more than $252 billion. Some companies are even increasing their dividends as the financial headwinds from 2011 die down. McDonald's is doing that. It's increased its dividend every year since 1976. Here in New York, the federal government is sharply critical of state oversight of developmentally disabled people. The report says the State Watchdog Commission failed to account for how it's spending public money. The report also said the commission doesn't have adequate policies for handling confidential records, and it's not getting enough input from families of the disabled. That's our preview of Wednesday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.